That's a new song to me. I like that. If you are a first-time visitor, you're catching us about halfway through a study in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 13, if you'll find that in your Bible. Revelation chapter 13. Last week, we talked about the first beast that came out of the sea. That was the Antichrist. Now, we're going to look at a second beast who comes up from the earth. Now, Satan's the primary character in chapters 12 through 14. His character has been described and demonstrated. We've talked about his names. He is the devil, which means accuser. He is Satan, which means adversary. He is strong. He is subtle. He's slanderous. Very sinister. He's an imitator. He's a counterfeiter. Just as there is a holy trinity, he puts together an unholy trinity. You've got the dragon, which is Satan, the first beast, the Antichrist, the second beast, the false prophet. And this constitutes an unholy trinity that will soon be unleashed upon this world. We saw a beast coming out of the sea. This one comes out of the earth. He's not identified here as the false prophet, but later on we see that this is the false prophet, this second beast. And we see that if you look at Revelation 20, verse 10. Kind of a sneak peek to the end of what's going to happen to these three. It says in chapter 20, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So that's going to be what happens to this unholy trinity. So you don't want to yoke up with them, amen? You don't want to suffer the same fate that is coming to them. Today we're going to talk about the false prophet, who is kind of the propaganda chief for the Antichrist. He is to the Antichrist what the Holy Spirit is to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus comes not to speak of himself, but to exalt the Lord Jesus. Well, the false prophet, in a similar sense, he does not come to exalt himself. He comes to exalt the Antichrist. And he will speak on his behalf. The thing that the Antichrist was, he's kind of a political figure. He's going to put together a one world government. The false prophet is more religious, and he's going to put together a one world religion. And he's going to come together and work together. We often hear about the ecumenical movement. And let's just talk about the attempt to get all religions to join together into one big world religion, forget our differences, and just learn how to get along. Yeah. Amen. That sounds good, doesn't it? Just learn how to love one another. And they say, we're just all worshiping the same God. Well, that's not true, is it? Amen. The God that false religions worship is not the true God, Jehovah. Right. And so we need to understand that. But back in 1910, there was an international missionary conference held in Edinburgh, the first attempt at this ecumenical movement. Then in 1927 in Switzerland, there was the World Conference on Faith and Order. Then in 1938, the World Council of Churches was planned and then inaugurated in 1948 in Amsterdam. This was an idea trying to get all religions to come together and be united. Matter of fact, Pope John the 23rd encouraged Roman Catholics to participate in this ecumenical movement back in 1962. So the WCC is very strong today. It has brought together some 340 different denominations and world religions from 100 countries throughout the world, estimating 400 million members involved in this. Their goal, he says, is to bring visible unity, one faith, one fellowship of all religions. It's going to work, by the way. There's coming a day when all this is going to succeed, and it's going to be led by this false prophet that we're going to talk about today. He rises out of the earth. Now, the first beast came out of the sea, symbolically speaking of the masses of people. This one comes out of the earth. And there's difference of opinion about what that means. But some seem to think that this is a reference to organized religion. He comes out of religion to lead in this ecumenical movement. We cannot be sure of the identity of the false prophet or of his nationality. All we're told here is that he is going to succeed. He will be universally accepted as the leader of all religion. Now, you know as well as I do, much of the strife in the world today is religious strife. Right? Strife and conflict between different religions. And so the idea of bringing it all together in unity, that sounds good to most people. And I think the world is ready right now for this to happen. Now, Christianity, we sing Almost Persuaded. Try to get some to come. False religions sing Almost Beheaded. You better come. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference in these religions and in the God that they worship. So let's look at this morning. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 13. And notice this second beast that comes out of the sea. Verse 11. John says, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist, before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he has the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, to the Antichrist, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So let's think about this second beast who is going to come. He is the third person of this unholy Trinity. His master is the devil. He's sent by Satan, rises to a place of leadership, and through the power of Satan is going to bring the world together under the Antichrist to acknowledge him as God and to worship him. You want to take notes? First of all, let's think about the master of the false prophet. Who is the master of this man? Well, we know it is the devil. His master is not God. His master is Satan. And think about the personality again of his master. Verse 11. Our mind, there's two words for another. It says, another beast. Now in the Greek, there is another of a different kind. Then there is another of the same kind. And that's what we're seeing here. Another beast of the same kind, just like the first beast we were introduced to last Sunday. They're going to be very similar. They're going to work as a team. They come from the same source. They share the same characteristics. They are both agents of the devil. He's described as having two horns. The first beast, remember, he had 10 horns. Which symbolize his territory that he is going to rule over. The second beast has 2 horns, which symbolize his testimony. And yet it's a false testimony. By the way, lambs don't have horns, do they? Here's a lamb with two horns. Now, right away we think there's something wrong with this. He might look like a lamb, but he's got dragon breath. Amen. So look for the horns and smell his breath. Don't be deceived. Horns are a symbol of power. Now, two is the number of testimony. So unlike the Antichrist, there's no crowns on his horns. His authority is not political, like the Antichrist. He is a religious leader, symbolized by the fact that he is like a lamb, which speaks of his, he's going to look good. He's going to look so godly, so harmless, but he's a great deceiver. Now, no doubt when he comes, he's going to make a lot of great speeches to the world, and he's going to talk about how we should all just come together. Forget our differences. Let's just love one another. Let's stop all the conflict. He's going to help the Antichrist bring temporary peace upon this world. And as I said, a lot of the conflict is religious. So we need to get all these religions to forget their differences and come together. That's what he's going to do. He's going to appear meek and humble, but it's just a disguise to deceive the masses of this world. Folks, the time is coming when this is going to happen. Many are going to believe the lie. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, he talks about that strong delusion that's going to come, that they should believe. And in the Greek, actually, it doesn't say a lie, it says the lie. There is the lie that's coming. Well, the Antichrist is the lie. He's going to profess to be God the Messiah, but he is not. He spake as a dragon, the second beast. In reality, he is as malicious as the dragon, as Satan is. Religion is only a mask that he is going to wear as an agent of the devil. He's going to appear very spiritual, very godly, but it's only a masquerade. It's all part of the devil's great plan. Somebody said that the false prophet is going to be the CEO of Satan and Sons Incorporated. I like that. That got described to him, don't you? The CEO of Satan and Sons Incorporated. Second, I want you to see the power of his master, as noted in verse 12. It says he exercises all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist, which was before him. They're going to abide in the same power which is coming from the dragon. It says back in verse 2, the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Now, folks, to go with the false prophet is to make the new religion very appealing to this world. It's going to contain all the features of the various religions in the world, and basically it's going to appeal to man's fleshly appetites. Now we see that today, don't we? Most religions appeal to the flesh, to the appetites of fleshly men. There is to please the senses of sight and sound. I can imagine this false prophet giving his speeches. They're going to be hypnotic, just like the Antichrist. He's going to be able to move the masses to tears at times and be able to whip them into a frenzy. He's going to be a great orator. He's going to control the communications media. Oh, Brother West, that couldn't happen, could it? Nobody can control the media. Right. He'll skillfully organize mass publicity to promote their ends. Public opinion is going to be under his control, under his command. He's going to tell people what their sinful hearts want to believe. what their sinful minds will believe. This is amazing what people will believe, isn't it? You come up with the craziest doctrine anybody's ever heard of, you can find somebody that'll accept it and believe it. By the way, it may surprise some of you to understand, to see that the devil loves religion. The devil's not against religion. He loves religion. He's a strong advocate of religion. And all these world religions were founded by the devil. He uses them to deceive and to corrupt. He loves religion. It's Christ and true Christianity that he hates. That's what he fears. But when it comes to the world's religion, he's right behind it. See, the devil doesn't care how religious you are. Amen? He doesn't care how religious you might become, as long as you don't follow Jesus Christ. Amen? Religion has always been one of his most effective tools to deceive and damn multitudes of people. Remember the parable Jesus gave about the wheat and tares? Sometimes study Matthew 13, or seven parables there, and they all work together to describe the church age. And there's one parable about sowing the good seed, the wheat. And then an enemy comes along and sows tares among the wheat. I think that speaks of Christ establishing his church on earth. When he left and went back to heaven, he left behind his church to be a pattern of many more churches just like it. The devil comes along and sows the tares. That's false churches. He sows false churches among the true churches. And to the world who does not know God and does not know the Bible, they can't tell the difference. To them, we're all the same. We all meet in a building like this and we'll sing and have prayer. To them, it's all the same. They don't see the difference in beliefs. But the devil plants his churches to deceive, that people may not know the truth and be damned by the lies of the Satan. So that's very real. And it's all part of the devil's strategy to deceive the multitudes today. So it's not surprising he's going to use religion during the tribulation period. It's going to be a main part of his beliefs. Same thing I want you to see this morning, not only the master, but note the mission of the false prophet. We read on to see that the Antichrist and the false prophet are working hand in hand. The false prophet is going to have an important part in helping the Antichrist come to power. Now, the fact that he's a religious figure, you know, for a long time, I mean, going way, way, way back, many have believed the false prophet will be the Pope. That would fit. A strong religious leader. Whenever the news wants to hear from a Christian authority, who do they go to? The Pope. They think the Pope speaks for all of us. He doesn't speak for me. Amen. He doesn't speak for me. He doesn't represent me. But it'd be somebody like the Pope. It may be the Pope, somebody like him, some great religious leader who will rise up and work with the Antichrist to bring about all of this, to get the world to bow down and worship the Antichrist. The false prophet is going to be the PR man, public relations man for the Antichrist. As I said, his mission is to exalt, lift up the Antichrist. He will support him. He will help him. He's going to unite all religions behind him. You might say the false prophet is going to be the ultimate spin doctor. He's going to be able to spin all this to make people believe his lies. Now, think about the conflict in the Middle East today. Is that a political conflict? Do like this. That's a religious conflict. That's a religious conflict. It's all about who owns that land over there. The Muslim says it's theirs. The Israelites, the Jews say it's theirs. And it all goes back all the way in the Old Testament to Jacob, his sons. The sons of Jacob are the tribes of Israel. Then you got the sons of Ishmael and Esau. They're also descendants of Abraham. So there is a great religious conflict deeply rooted in religious beliefs. And when all the religions of the world come together under one umbrella, they're going to be able to bring at least temporary peace to the Middle East. The false prophet will have a major key, I think, in this accomplishment. Joining with the Antichrist to influence these religious leaders to come together and agree on a peace treaty for the Middle East. But whatever the Antichrist does, the false prophet is going to be right there beside him to put his stamp of approval upon it. He promotes the work of the Antichrist. Secondly, he proclaims the worship of the Antichrist. He causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. We talked about that last Sunday, that the Antichrist is going to receive a deadly wound, and it's going to appear that he has died, and then later it's going to be a great announcement that he was raised from the dead. Now again, the devil's a great counterfeiter. He counterfeits the Trinity. He counterfeits everything God's done. So now he's going to counterfeit the resurrection. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, we preach, was buried and rose again. So, well, they're going to counterfeit that too. Now, most believe that it will be a staged resurrection. A lot of people don't believe that the devil really has the power to raise somebody from the dead. The power of giving of life is God's alone, they say. I don't know, but whether it's actually going to happen or it's just a stage thing to make people think he was resurrected. But it's all deception, isn't it? It's all about deceiving this world. Daniel says the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And you know, going way back to the time of Lucifer and the fall of Lucifer, his problem was that he wanted to be God, wasn't it? Lucifer wanted to exalt himself to be as God. He wanted to be worshipped like God is worshipped. Paul wrote about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He said, the Antichrist will be one who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's called the abomination of desolation. Now, we've already talked about this, the fact that if he's going to do this in the temple's got to be rebuilt, doesn't it? There's no temple in Jerusalem right now. But the Bible says prophetically there will be a temple that will be built. That could happen during the first half of the tribulation period. In the midway part is when the Antichrist will enter the newly built temple and declare himself to be God and demand that he be worshipped as God. I can just imagine a false prophet calls a great news conference at this time to broadcast throughout the world and endorse the claim of the Antichrist that the world should bow down and worship him. Just as the Holy Spirit promotes and magnifies the Lord Jesus, the false prophet seeks to promote and magnify the Antichrist. He shall not speak of himself. So all of this is being done. This is the mission of the false prophet. That brings us to our third thought. Think about the miracles now, the miracles of the false prophet and the Antichrist. In verse 13, says he doeth wonders. He performs miracles. He'll be a master of miracles. He's going to perform miracles of such a caliber, it's going to make Benny Hinn look like an amateur. Because he is, really. Think about this. There will be, first of all, there will be diverse miracles. And I may hurt your feelings here, but I'm going to say this. I believe the charismatic movement is preparing the way for all this to happen. For the world to be duped and deceived by the false prophet and the Antichrist. You got this name and claim it crowd who demand signs and wonders and look for miracles. And folks, that's just setting the stage for these two miracle workers to come along and deceive all these people who think that all miracles come from God. Folks, demons can perform miracles. Satan can perform miracles. Jesus warned of this. Write down in your notes Matthew 24, verse 24. Jesus says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." So Jesus himself said, they're going to come and perform great miracles to deceive this world. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that was credited with the quote, "You can fool all the people some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time." Well, the Antichrist is going to come close. He's going to come close to fooling all the people all the time. Only those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ will know him and what he's doing. But you got people today, you got these false prophets, these false preachers, amen, who claim to be prophets from God. Every Sunday they've got a new revelation to share. And many people swallow it. I mean, they swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Bible says in Revelation 16:14, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles." The spirits of devils working miracles. I mean, go back to the time of Moses when they appeared before Pharaoh. Did not Pharaoh have sorcerers, magicians who could perform miracles? Aaron cast down his rod, became a snake. These magicians cast down their rods and they became snakes. Now, for a while, they could match Moses and Aaron, miracle for miracle. Then it got to where they couldn't any longer. But folks, don't be deceived by miracle workers. Most of them is counterfeit. It's all fake. But that's not to say that some of them could not actually perform a miracle by the power of demons. You watch these TV charismatic preachers. Listen to them. Very little Bible. It's mostly their stories, their visions, the revelations. I take it back, don't watch them. I don't want you to get deceived by them. But folks, listen, they preach very little Bible. They preach very little Bible doctrine. And there are millions following these people. Add to that the religious phenomenon that's going on around the world. For example, you hear about radiant crosses of light in California and in the Philippines that bring spontaneous healings. Rainbow-colored light emanates from an image of Buddha in Japan. Muslims in Senegal discover the symbol of Allah formed in their gardens. A 12-year-old Lebanese girl produces tiny crystals from her eyes. A man in Kenya appears out of the blue to 6,000 people, and many are healed. He promises to return with what he calls a bucket full of blessings. Add to this the phenomena of Catholicism. The many manifestations of Mary, weeping, bleeding statues of the Madonna. We hear wells of healing water in Mexico. And just on and on it goes. Folks, listen to me. This world is hungry for that stuff. They're hungry for signs and wonders, and they're going to be easy prey for the diabolical duel that's coming. Amen. Not only diverse miracles, they will be deceptive miracles. He will do wonders. He'll perform a wide variety of miracles. There's going to be a sky miracle. He maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Elijah did that in the Old Testament, didn't he? Elijah called down fire from heaven. Not only the sky miracle, there's the statue miracle. He's going to lead the world to make an image to the beast, which had the wound by sword and did live. They make an image of the Antichrist. They set it up. This is the abomination of desolation referred to by Christ. And they're going to demand everyone bow down and worship this image. It goes on to say, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Now, I don't know, is he going to cause a statue to come alive and speak? By the way, this image is referred to seven times in the book of Revelation. And if you're here, don't you bow down to that image. Don't do it. That's going to be the crowning act of blasphemy when that comes. The whole purpose of these miracles is to seduce and deceive the people of this world. That they will believe the lies and the deceptions of the Antichrist. For those who are not deceived, for those who refuse to bow down and worship the image, the penalty is pretty stiff, isn't it? It says as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. There are going to be some believers, there are going to be some people that get saved during the tribulation. Many of them are going to be martyred. They will not bow down to this image. They will not take the mark of the beast. Now, you got to come back tonight because Brother Tim is going to preach on the mark of the beast tonight. He says he's got it all figured out. So, you come tonight. Don't miss this. Right? How many are absolutely not coming to come back tonight? Amen. Everybody's coming back. You're not coming back? I'm sorry, Larry. We're going to miss you. That was a play on words. I asked who are not coming back because I knew nobody's going to raise their hand. Then I could say, amen, everybody's coming back. All right. That makes it 100% right there. Now, don't miss that tonight. There's nothing else that you could do to be more important than hear Brother Tim explain the mark of the beast. I can't wait. I may not even go home. I may just sit here and wait for tonight's service. Right, Brother Tim? He's got it ready to go. So you might ask, Brother West, why does God allow false prophets to perform miracles to deceive? Because God does allow it. Now, folks, the devil and demons cannot do anything that God does not allow. So he does allow them to do certain things. Let me give you a scripture that might help you understand this. It's in Deuteronomy 13. Verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, even though they do miracles, For the Lord your God proveth you. He's testing you. To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Folks, what it's saying is, don't trust in miracles, trust in the Word of God. Yes. Put all your faith and trust in the Word of God. You're much safer believing God's Word than in believing in signs and wonders and miracles. Demon activity is real. Let me share a story with you. Missionary in Africa had won a witch doctor to Christ. He found this former witch doctor burning all the artifacts of his former sorcery. The preacher was watching him do this, and he noticed two hand-carved gourds among the things that this witch doctor was going to burn, and he asked if he could have them. He said, I'm going back to the States soon, and I'd like to take those with me and just show people back in America some of the things that we're dealing with here. The witch doctor said, no, sir, no. These are used in black magic. There's evil power in these things. You must not take them. I need to burn them. Preacher, oh, no, I'm not afraid of anything like that. I'd like to have them. So the witch doctor bowed to the authority of his pastor, and he let them take them. That night, the missionary, when he went to bed, he placed those two gourds beside his bed on the floor. In the middle of the night, he said he was awakened by eerie sounds and looked down and see those two gourds were just shaking and rattling. He said, I could feel an evil, cold presence in that room. He said, I quickly got up and threw those gourds into the fire. He said, oh, preacher, you don't believe that stuff, do you? Yeah, I believe that stuff. I believe that stuff. Folks, they're real. They're very real. And you need to be very, very careful about dabbling into these things. We got young people that thinks it's funny and cute to dabble in witchcraft and broken arrow. They're just as dumb as they can be. That is so dangerous. And we need to be careful and warn our young people. Don't get involved in that stuff. Stuff is very dangerous. I do believe there's active demon forces in the world today. It's going to get worse when the tribulation begins. The world in which we live, folks, I think the stage is being set. It's obvious that it's being prepared for the Antichrist and the false prophet to come. I believe they're alive today. They haven't been revealed yet. But for the time I think we're in, they would have to be alive, just waiting for their opportunity to come upon the scene and fulfill the prophecies that have been made. I don't know about you, but boy, I'm so grateful that my old account was settled long ago. I'm so thankful that when the Lord comes to catch his people out, I'm going to be amongst that number. I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's a great battle raging between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. You need to be careful which kingdom you align with. Lost friend, if you're lost, if you're not saved, you're in the kingdom of Satan. You say, well, I never joined. You don't have to. If you're not in the kingdom of Christ, there's only one other kingdom. That's the kingdom of Satan. You've got to leave that kingdom and enter into the kingdom of Christ. And if you do so, you're going to be on the winning side. If you stay in the devil's kingdom, you're on the losing side. You're going to share the same fate that's coming to that unholy trinity. Brother Sam, why don't you come? Let's have a hymn of invitation. We always like to close our service by giving you an opportunity to respond to God's word. First of all, to you that may not be saved, if you're not saved, if you've not been born again, we want to reach out to you this morning and invite you to come. Do what we've done. Just about all of us here have walked down an aisle at some point and confessed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. If I could do it for you, I would crawl down this aisle for you if I could. If it would mean your salvation. But nobody can do that for you. You've got to do that for yourself. So you have an opportunity this morning to come. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior.